Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Nancy Rozanoff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Nancy is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's one of our good friends, the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Making Money Through Intuition. She's the author of Knowing When It's Right, an intuitive approach to improving relationships, and she is our intuition expert. Heck, she's one of the world's top intuition experts, and she's our good friend. Nancy, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Tim.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show, Nancy. We missed you since you were here.
Well, I bring in this other element, you know, this other element of which some people can refer to as insane, but it really is this sense that we know more than we think we know, that we're not just thinkers. We are seers and seekers and responders to the needs of life, and that comes through in this thing we call intuition.
Do you think we repress? I like what you just said. You said we know more than we think we know. So you're saying that we repress a level of ability that we have. We actually repress that?
Yes, absolutely. We're connected to an infinite intelligence, but it doesn't come through in logical, data processed, linear ways.
And when something comes to us, you know, through our we get an idea or something, an inspiration or whatever. If it seems a little bit off the wall, it can frighten us a little bit, can it?
Absolutely.
And we don't want to admit to other people that we had such a thought.
Exactly, and we don't know where it came from, and it's often indicating a direction or a way to go, a solution to a particular situation that we're facing, because intuition is always practical. It's always responding to the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But with it, if it's true intuition or true inspiration, it brings with it an inner sense of peace and assurance.
What's the difference? I'm sorry, Nancy, what's the difference between intuition and inspiration?
I would say not much. That they really come from the same source.
Yeah.
What we would want to make a distinction about is between intuition, inspiration, and, say, instinct or gut feeling, what people call, or impulsive.
Right.
That those are not intuitive, that those are more based on a hidden motivation. You know, like sometimes, now I'm not, you know, this, none of your audience, I'm sure, ever goes there, but sometimes
I think we all go there, Nancy.
Sometimes we get greedy, right? Or sometimes we really want something, but we're even afraid to admit to ourselves that we want it. But that comes through, and then it becomes impulsive or gut feeling.
Or, you know, there are left-brain people and right-brain people. You know about that.
I know about that, but I don't agree with it.
You disagree.
I don't think it's a useful distinction.
Oh, really? Well, see, I think there are people who are. I know people who are so left brain that they just can't allow themselves to be frivolous or with an idea or to let a frivolous idea, what seems to be a frivolous idea or some lofty, you know, some inspiration. They're just too practical to let
So what you're calling left brain really has nothing to do with the fact that they're only the left side of their brain is functioning.
No, I know that, but it's a catch.
It has nothing to do with that.
It's a term that people use.
You know, by calling it left brain, right brain, we actually make it seem more valid than it is.
Okay, well, give me a better term. All right, let's call them engineers then.
Well, yeah, but I've met many engineers who are incredibly intuitive.
Right.
That they really receive.
Well, I can't. You've completely taken my whole. You've completely taken my whole point of my whole thought away there, Nancy. I have nowhere to go with this now, Nancy.
Well, good. It's good. Now you're receptive to something really new coming through.
Well, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to think about how everyone listening, whether they're extremely practical or whether they're completely frivolous. How everyone out there can be aware of this power, because I do agree with you. I do believe that there is a force in all of us, and that's the best word I can think to use. There's a force in all of us. It's part of our spirit that I think we don't take advantage of.
Absolutely, and I would call it intelligence. It's a form of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because we're not just these physical beings. We are consciousness. We're aware. And our awareness is not seated in the body. You know, we're connected to everything.
Well, see, I'm glad you said that, because, I mean, I've been talking, as you know, I've been talking about the power of the spirit since I've been doing the show, and when I say spirit, folks, you know, you can think theological if you want to, and I often do myself. But what I'm talking about right now is this energy that drives your protoplasm around.
You
talked about the physical body. Who we are is not what we see. Who we are is the spirit.
Exactly right, and we can, because we know that if we're thinking a certain way, that way of thinking is going to determine the way our life goes, and that way of thinking is not necessarily inspired or not. It could be based on a real false idea. Mm-hmm. We've seen it happen in business all the time.
But all right, let's say that someone out there is saying, "Wow, that Rosanoff lady, that Blasting Game guy, I'm really connecting with what they're saying. Hey, this is good stuff." Now, what do they do with all that, Nancy?
Well, what they do with it is they really pay attention to the content of their consciousness. They pay attention to, well, when I get an inspiration, does it have that sense of peace and joy with it, or does it have a sense of, oh my God, I've got to work really hard to do this, or it's going to be a huge effort?
What about fear of what other people think?
Fear of other people.
Isn't that the biggest killer of intuition?
That is, and we really need to just notice that that's happening and set that aside, because that's not a valid reason to not pay attention to your inspiration. We can all see that.
Well, but I know you say it's not valid, but it is powerful.
Yes, exactly right. That's what I'm saying. We recognize it is powerful, but we don't want to give it more power than it already has.
When we come back after these, when we come back after these messages, Nancy, I want to talk about some ways to actually convert these thoughts we're having, these inspirations, this intuition that we're having, how to convert that into something useful. And Nancy Rosanoff and I will be right back after these messages to do just that. And that's Dr. Nancy Rosanoff, by the way, the author of Knowing When It's Right. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I never know which direction we're going to go. I never know exactly how we're going to wind up when we have a visit with our good friend Nancy Rosanoff, the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Making Money Through Intuition, Dr. Nancy
Rosanoff.
Well, isn't
that healthy?
It is healthy. Well, that's what I enjoy about having you on the show, Nancy. Is, of course, with me, as you well know, as my audience knows, with me, there's no way of knowing where we're going to wind up. But I want you to give us your website. Also, folks, I want to remind you, Nancy is still doing her television show. Nancy, tell us all about that, please.
Oh, well, it's called The Listening Place, and it's really one of these crazy things in life that gave me a left turn. I started at just on the local channel as my response to September 11th, 2001, so long ago now, and I just kept going. I loved it so much, and I got such a great response from the audience. And I've done over 250 shows, so it's The Listening Place. I interview people and about their inner life, about what makes them tick, and people.
She's never interviewed me, though, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, because you haven't come to the studio. Don't put that on me.
I got to come all the way up there, huh?
You got to come all the way to Pleasantville, New York, Yankee territory.
There you go. Give us your website, please, Nancy.
And so you can go to www.thelisteningplace.com. Now, I have a little something there, a little treat that people people can see a documentary I'm working on. But the site is not up because I'm in the process of really putting my shows on the internet so they can be viewed by people.
Good.
So I'm in a big transition there, but please come and visit the listing.
And your books are available wherever books are sold, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You can get them through Amazon and or anything online, and in a bookstore can order them.
Nancy, I want to talk about how to turn these intuitions into, or at least give them the possibility of coming to life. I've known people, Nancy, who have lots of ideas.
Yes.
And they've never had an unspoken idea.
Yes.
And they weren't all that good at making things happen, and so people wind up not taking them seriously.
Right.
And I've known people that were so afraid of what other people thought that when they had an idea, they were afraid to act on it. And
yes.
So here's my offering that I'd like to get you to respond to. What I've tried to do when I have an idea, and if it's a really wacko idea, which I have many of those, I don't tell anybody about it until I've done a little research, until I've slept on it a while, until I think I know a little bit about it. And then I sort of bake it inside of me, so to speak, for a little while, maybe for a day or maybe for a year. And then I find people I can talk to that I think might understand or might help, and then I ask them a question about it. And so I let this thing sort of gestate inside me or bake inside of me until it's something that I either want to either get rid of and say, you know what, this isn't a good idea, or something I might want to reveal to other people. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I think that's a good way to begin and to get started, you know, and what I think we have to look at is that what we're talking about here are business ideas. And so we have to go to the core. It has to be in alignment with the core of what business is all about. And business is about providing a useful service or a useful product and setting it up in a way that it is beneficial to all, that it supports both the customers and the employees and the founder of it. So it's really very simple. It's a simple idea. And what I see happening is that people have these ideas, but they're based on some sort of personal fantasy. And so, yeah, you need to sit with it and look at it and play it out like you're saying. Do your research. See, well, how would this business really function? Who would it serve? What need would it serve? And how would it get supported? And once you have that in place and you can talk about that and you can see that for yourself, even if it looks wacky to someone else, you're going to find people who are going to help you and support you because it's a good idea. You know, ideas that are good ideas are eventually seen.
But if you have ideas and you tell people about them instantaneously, the moment you know about it, but you seem to have only ideas and not much performance.
Yes.
That's when people aren't going to support you that much.
That's right. Then you're dissipating your energy. You're just doing it to get attention. You're not really serious about being in business. So being in business is like what we're talking about, finding a business idea, but really seeing, is it serving, who's it serving, and how's it going to have its own income?
I'll give you an example. One of the reasons that I'm thinking about this is because of the way people ask me questions.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked me a question, emailed me a question one time, and they said, I want to start a restaurant. Where do I buy my food?
Right.
Now
that's not a good question.
That's not a good question to ask me. But that
not
told me that they really aren't a serious person, a serious future restaurateur.
Right.
And so be sure that you know when you have these. This person may have been inspired to start a restaurant, but they just didn't launch it the right way. Nancy, last thoughts, 20 seconds.
Well, yes, in the intuitive model, what we have to realize is that one thing always flows into another. And so an idea, a business that just did very well in our community is a new restaurant that opened up. But these people had worked at other restaurants and consulted with them for years. They came from a family. And then it just flowed. They knew everything to start this new restaurant.
Nancy Rosanna from the very much full-color Pleasantville, New York. Not the black and white Pleasantville, but the full-color Pleasantville, New York. Thank you, Nancy, for being here. Good job today.
Okay, Jim, I'll talk to you soon.
See you next time. Nancy Rosanna, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Nancy Rosanna, the author of Knowing When It's Right. Quick break. Right back with Nick Bibby after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.